Amen. Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. You know, I really honestly try and do my best to, when I come to church, even as a pastor, I am trying my best to search and to seek what God would have me to learn. Church is a place to learn. Life is a place to learn, but I mean, that day of the Lord is a time to focus. And I'm glad I started early on trying to figure that out. And I was sitting there and I said, you know, I've probably mentioned this before. The reason we don't have a bouncy ball and a screen is because, and I'm not very smart in this area, but hymn books have parts. They have parts. You play a part in there. And you know how that goes. Mama sang bass, daddy sang tenor, and me and little brother just joined right in. And it's important. When you just put the words on the screen, you lose the parts. And I was sitting there and I was saying, it started off shaky. Is that okay for me to say that? It started off shaky, didn't it? Nobody wants to say. Have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? And I said to the Lord, I said, you know, Lord, I said, maybe we just ought to have a singing revival where somebody comes in and teaches us how to all sing our part. And I said, you know, because when everybody sings their part, oh, it makes just such a beautiful melody, doesn't it? And I said, Lord, I said, the chances of that happening are probably pretty slim. And don't let it go to your head, Sam, because you miss a lot of keys. You're pitchy. It's pitchy. There's just, you definitely miss keys on the keyboard. I wonder sometimes if I really got the piano tuned. But I said to the Lord, I said, you know, Lord, I said, I want to be the kind of pastor that Sam is playing piano and singing. Because Mark got on board. And I said, man, if maybe now when I ask Mark to do something, I'll just get a keyboard out. You know, they have those. Remember, wasn't it? Prince used to have that band. Didn't one of those guys have the keyboard? Did he? Some of y'all weren't lost. To my black folk in here, do you remember Prince? And what was that band? What was that group that he had? Yeah, never mind. And he had the keyboard with a little strap over it, and he when Mark does something, I'm going to get my keyboard out and strap it over and say, Mark, get in tune, baby. Just get in tune. And, but no, it was, it ended better than it started. And here's the thing about it. Music forces you to work with other people. Forces you to work with other people. And I wish the church did that. Instead of having too many years, there's a show on, I've flipped through the channels and seen, and I think it's called Breaking Up the Band. And if you were ever lost and listened to secular music, some of y'all still listen to it now and you say you're saved. But anyways, that was easy, wasn't it? Since you can't get on board with me, I just figured I'd just do that. And great bands of yesteryear broke up. You know why? Because too many of them wanted to be a solo artist. And I'm afraid sometimes we got solo artists. I appreciate the smile back there, Ryan. Ryan's with me, whether anybody else isn't. And I always appreciate about you, Sam. You strive when you're singing. I don't know if it's pride. I don't know if you get embarrassed that, Mark, did you elbow him? Because I can't see. Did you elbow him and go, Mark, get in tune, please. You're killing us. But I always appreciate that by you. When you start, and you're willing to sing with anybody, aren't you? We'll see. I might volunteer one day. See how much you can do with me. Amen. It's just things I observe. For me, there's a message in everything going on if you look for it. So, Mark, you weren't too bad. Amen. You ended better than you began. Would we agree? Is everybody okay with that? Is that why some of y'all don't volunteer to sing? Because you're afraid I'm going to make an illustration out of you? Remind me what you want me to say at your funeral. What is it? Will I say? Yes, I will. Yeah. You were part of that crowd back there drinking monster drinks and the knit caps and 95 the fish. And if I'm not mistaken, was anybody else here when I candidated? He was part of the karaoke club down here. Does anybody remember that? Help me, Lord, Angela. He was part of the karaoke club down there. You were, man. All right, everybody lift up your hands. Let's get with the beat with Jesus. I mean, I said, what in the world have I done? How did I accept this church? That's what you came to, Lindsay. That's what you came to, the 95 Fish Karaoke Club. Breakfast, Lord's breakfast. Anyways, oh my goodness, we've come a long way, Miss Paula, haven't we? Amen. All right, Revelation 2. Has anybody got it? Oh, I know what I was going to do. We were going to have the young people all get up here, the teens that went to camp, and get up and give a personal testimony. I had that epiphany in my office this afternoon. Oh, you say you didn't study? Oh, no. I got all kinds of, man, look at that. I got all kinds of stuff in there. Man, I got at least an hour and a half of message right there. But I mean, I get so encouraged by what God does in other people's lives. Right? Isn't that right? Let me see. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Who went to camp? Just remind me again. Oh, Miley, you guys didn't go to camp? I wouldn't do that to you. Amen. Anybody got a testimony, though? Somebody does? Who? Sam? All right. You want to brag on, you want to thank the Lord for the public showers? Oh, counselors get showers in their room.
No, the girl, yeah.
Oh, there was, oh, okay.
We had our own little lodge.
All right. The boys have to go down by the creek with a bucket and a washcloth.
They did have some trouble with the water for a moment. No, I just want to praise the Lord for the opportunity to go. There is so much that could be said that I'm trying to think, how do I keep it short and sweet? And it's hard, but I went with...
We didn't get to go to camp. So most of the time with a testimony, you try and paint a picture of how good he was,
and
what we missed. So whether that takes 2 minutes or whatever.
I knew... Just from always hearing about it year by year.
Have you went to camp as a counselor before?
No.
This was your first time?
Yeah.
Wow.
I visited last year and got a glimpse of it, a taste of it.
I keep cutting you off, but have you been to camp as a person? No, as a... not as a counselor, but...
I visited for a day last year.
I didn't say... I said person because she could have been there as a teen. She could have been there as a preteen.
When I was a youth, we only ever went to conferences, never really a camp experience.
You never had a camp experience?
We had 1 year at Indian Creek, and it was a bad experience. But,
So your first real camp experience was as a counselor.
Yeah, and visiting, I saw so much that just was so endearing to me. But going as a counselor this year, I'll admit, there was this level of, I don't even know the word, angst in some category.
Responsibility?
With the altar call that they do things. And I wanted so dearly to be a blessing to someone. And that first night, there was just so much, I think, worry that I could do wrong by somebody, and I didn't want that. And I was able to just observe that first night. And then the next day that came, really, one of the guest speakers, Pastor Cole, preached on just asking for God's power. And that hit me on such a personal level because here I came to something, and I had been praying about it. I had been praying leading up to it, but never really thought to just stop and say, God, I need you in this moment to help someone else that might come up. And I really just appreciated how dearly that message hit me, if not the kids, but at least myself. And I was able to correct things in my own life in that moment and just really just say, Lord, I need you in this to be a blessing, to help someone else. And then throughout the week, you know, there was this a couple opportunities with some of the staff workers that would come up and sit with me, and it was just awing to just have someone be vulnerable and humble enough to walk forward and transparent and just to ask for counsel and prayer with a decision. And I just, one of the things that I determined within myself when going to camp was to not leave discouraged. Burdened, yes, but I didn't want to leave discouraged, because I could go into that and have such heightened expectations and wants and hopes for all of our kids. And I didn't want to leave discouraged if it didn't happen. But I saw God daily. Whether it was an answer to prayer or an inch in the right direction, I just praise the Lord that I saw him in my life and I got to see him work in other lives. I'm thankful that I could take an evening and just pray with a counselor, maybe not with a child, but a counselor could join me in prayer. And then the next service, we see an answer from that prayer. And I just was so humbled that I could be a part of that. And I did. I didn't leave discouraged, but I left burdened and wanting to do more for our young people. And this morning, your message was so on point and so timely. There was, you had mentioned managing expectations. And, oh.
Massive failure on my part, if I can be transparent.
I know.
I expect so much. And
but
then
trusting his promises and just being hopeful. If I can't believe and trust in his promises, despite what things I may have hoped for this past week that I may not have seen answered to, shame on me. Because his power is so readily available, and his timing is his own, it's not ours, and so I trust and I'm hoping to see those answers that I longed for down the road. It was just a good week.
Yeah.
Overall, a really good week.
Amen. Teachable moment. I always feel like there's so much that I can pull out of that for myself and help somebody else with. I love that camp. And I searched for one when I first got here. Bikini camps are not for young people. And that's what the two camps they had here were bikini camps. If you don't know what that is, come ask me later. I'll tell you what a bikini camp is. And what I really appreciate about that camp is what every church should understand. When the Word of God is open, there is an expectation at the end that there's going to be an altar call.
Right.
You just, when you're in those services, they are going to, and it's not demanding. It's just an expectation. You see counselors move right to the front automatically. They're up there. Why? Because those counselors believe, and that preacher believes, and that camp believes, that when the Word of God is open, people have you come to the junction of a decision. And I told the guys in homiletics, you preach for a decision. To preach just to preach, to hear yourself preach, and not draw a conclusion at the end and say, is not preaching. Teaching is a whole different aspect, but preaching is an imperative that you must make a decision at the end of it. And they expect it. It's not something they just shy away from. And it is encouraging to see so many people willing to do that. Second thing, teachable moment, is when you go there as a counselor, there's an expectation that you're going to be spiritual. You don't get to fly under the radar as a camper. I mean, I came late, came on Thursday that one time. Sometimes I don't always want to, I just want to let what hair I got down and just enjoy. And there's always an expectation. You can't be a counselor there and hide. You can't be a counselor there and run from God. And the sobriety of that shakes you into a position where you say, man, this stuff's real. This people's lives are in the balance. I mean, I watch some of the, whatever their decision might be on a card. I want to obey mom and dad better. You think, oh my goodness, man, you got some struggles ahead of you. if that's your biggest one. No, you get that one settled, all the other ones don't matter. There's some adults in here need camp. Just obeying. Just constant resistance. And so it makes you got to be on your key, don't you? And then you're sitting there and you're going, oh my goodness, I got to help. The invitation comes and you're going, that's why a lot of times when I give an invitation here, I wish we had multiple piano players. How many times have you heard a message here and you just want to go to the altar and you're there ministering to somebody through piano? And so, yeah, it makes you, and then here's another one. If you can go to camp, I don't care who you are. If you can go to camp and you say, I didn't see him moving, you're in a very scary place. If you can consistently go to church, I ain't getting fed. I didn't see nothing there. Mike was great. Goodness, I thought he was drinking energy drinks when he came back or something. He was wired for sound, and you're waiting in a car for him. And Mike's just, oh, pastor, preacher, man, God was just moving, and God spoke to me. That's what's nice. When you go there to minister to other people, and in the midst of ministering to other people, God ministers to you. I mean, he is just amazing in that area. So if you went there and you're listening to me talk and you say, well, I didn't see what Sam saw. I didn't see all. You're in a danger place. Because I'm going to tell you what, he's moving everywhere. And it's nice when you can just find him moving in little places that you didn't expect him to move in. Because it'll give you hope. Amen. Good stuff. First time as a counselor. First time really at camp. Did you get involved in all the tug of wars? And did they do, huh? Did they do the jousting battleship thing, whatever that was, where they're throwing, did they do that this time? I think that one's awesome. I need to go to camp. I wanted to go to camp just for that, man. Ah! Amen. I want to go to football camp and tell them I'm 17, dye my hair. Just so I can hit somebody with football pads. Amen. Anybody else? What? That's why I go to the gun range. I draw faces on targets at the gun range. Michaela, don't go to the gun range with me. Shoo! Amen. Anybody else? Nobody else? Jake, do you go to camp?
No, not this year.
Oh, man, I thought.
No.
All right.
No, that it is a great camp. We got to go a few times.
And you got a microphone?
I do.
Okay.
And it is a wonderful camp. But this, in the last few weeks, you know, a couple extra things came up. We had a couple extra bills this month, and we found ourselves a little bit short on one of our heftier bills. And, it's not the first time, but we've always seen God work. And looking back over that, it was almost easy and almost exciting this time looking into it, just seeing, you know, how's God going to move? How's he going to work? What's he going to do this time? And sure enough, we had just talked about it. And this morning, somebody gave us some money. And then Wesley went out and checked the mail at lunchtime today. And there was a check in there from our mortgage company. And it totaled more than what we needed for everything that we needed this week. And God just provides, and he keeps providing. Even when, and I know that we're not worthy of it, but how he cares for his children, it's humbling. It's amazing to watch what God does and how he does it in ways that I would never expect. And he just keeps doing it, and I can't thank him enough for it.
Amen. Amen. You got to be careful about getting too excited about how he does that, because the tests get more difficult. Is that right, older people? You think, man, wow, God. And then he winds up for the next one, and you're going, it's nice to anticipate his, but I mean, you know, Job never thought he was going to have 10 kids again. So, yeah, I enjoy it. There's times when I feel like, God, I know you got the answer. I'm waiting for it, baby. And then it don't look like it's coming, and then he does. And he always ups the ante on every test. I never could have survived today, the trials. I never could have survived yesterday, the trials I have to go through today. Each one builds my faith even more. Amen.
For just this month of July, he's been so good to me. Started off with junior camp at the beginning of the month, and I know I spoke about it after junior camp, and just what he did there and the goodness that I got to take away from that. But then I paid off my car this month. I got to go to teen camp.
I just paid off my car. Before the 92 months?
Yes, sir, before the end of the...
How soon did you pay it off?
We'll
go back to our Wednesday night Bible study and you can testify. How long did you have the loan on that car?
My loan was 3 years. And it was
on a brand new car.
On a brand new car, yes, sir.
How many are doing that nowadays, Brother Mark? 3-year loan on a brand new car. That's 36-month loan.
And so it was...
Paid it off before the 36 months.
Yes, sir. It ends in December, but I paid it off at the beginning of July. But truly, it's not because of what I did. It's because of how the Lord provided. And for Brother Mike and Miss Emily.
I tell you what, I know a lot of people, God provides a lot of things. And they...
And Brother Mike and Miss Emily have helped me each step of the way in getting my finances in order and how to use them best to honor the Lord. And then teen camp, and then I just celebrated my 3-year salvation birthday during teen camp as well. So,
you didn't get saved at camp, did you?
No, sir. No, sir, but it was 3 years. I got saved right after, I don't know how the weeks fell, but I got saved right after they came back from camp.
It was during the time we were doing people's testimonies, right?
It was shortly after Caleb had called me and one night woke me up out of sleep and told me that he had gotten saved. And it was shortly after Miss Libby had got it settled and Jake had got it settled. And when Caleb called me, I just knew I had to get saved. Yeah. Yeah. And so they got home from camp on Friday and I got saved that Sunday. So that was 3 years ago as of Thursday. And then just teen camp. I'm just so humbled. The fact that I get to go and how the Lord speaks to me just as he speaks to the teens. And I get to sit through the services. And Pastor Angel preached a message titled A Little Bit of Honey. And just...
What's the text? Do you remember? Or at least the story?
Oh, man. No, I'm totally...
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I was trying to...
It was Old Testament.
Samson with the honey out of the lion?
No, it was, yes.
Okay.
And,
look at these teens pulling their notes out, man. Huh? 1 Samuel 14,
yeah.
24.
And, another working. And how Pastor Angel preached that message, and I remember 9 years ago, 7 years ago about, it was when Megan, Caleb, and I, we were the only three that went to camp. We didn't have counselors. We were just dropped off.
Oh, my goodness.
And Pastor Grimaldi preached that message with the same title. And so I just, every night, every message, I had talked to someone else at the altar. And I didn't talk to anyone at the altar that night. And so I just got to stand there and thank the Lord for the goodness that he's had in my life and how much has changed in that 7-9 years since Pastor Grimaldi preached that message and how much the Word of God changes lives and how it's worked in my life. And I was just so reminiscent of all the things that he's done in these last several years from when Pastor Grimaldi preached it to when Pastor Terry Angel preached it. and just how good he is and how he works in our lives. And so I'm just thankful that I got to go to teen camp, and I'm thankful for junior camp.
Amen. Amen.
He's just so good to me, and I don't deserve it.
It's not just the messages. It's the obedience to them. You hear it and you say, God, that's for me. And yes, Miss Alicia, you've come a long way. I still remember this Bob Evans in Streetsboro. We'll just leave that with us, won't we? Barely knew him, and there they were at Bob Evans, and I said, my, my, my. You've come a long way. Starting a job with school, just keep your eyes on the Lord. Don't keep your eyes on people. Don't listen to the naysayers. Keep a trowel in one hand, sword in the other, and a tender heart. You'd be surprised where you get. Amen. Amen. It's good. I appreciate your tender spirit. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. Camp? How, camp this week?
But the Lord still worked in my life.
Without going to camp, he worked? Oh, how does he do that?
So this week, the Lord was very present in my life. Tuesday to Thursday were very hard personally for me. But I found in the midst of it how the Lord was answering a prayer. So Tuesday I was asked to go help a friend. And I went, but to a place that I didn't want to go. And was faced with difficulties in the whole right there. And even there, I remember just out loud quoting Psalms 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And I just kept repeating it to myself out loud. And the Lord was an ever-present help from Tuesday to Thursday. And prior to that, though, I'm somebody who I learned in difficult times that I would neglect my prayers. So I began journaling them. And so in my journaling, I had recently prayed for two things. And one I'll keep unspoken, and the other, I prayed that the Lord personally would work on my compassion. Explicitly just ask the Lord to please help me be more compassionate for others. And then I found him answering that prayer in action, where I was called upon to show compassion where it was difficult. And for people it was difficult to show compassion to. But he was faithful, and he was a comfort. And having gotten through those days, he was the friend that stuck closer than any other. But he was that. I just kept holding to that. His rod and his staff comfort me. And I found that to be his scripture. That there were just, the devil attacked in many ways, mentally and physically and emotionally. And I was just like, how? But I actually told Sammy, I was attacked, but I had never felt so strong spiritually, but so weak physically. But it was, after I had like said it, it was like the Lord replayed it to me. And I realized it is in my weakness he was made strong, and he needed to weaken me so that I could be strong for him and be a tool used in his hand. And my praise is just how prayers get answered when you're earnest and honest, but it's not always comfortable to have to be molded on the potter's wheel. And I read the days I was going through that, I was in Isaiah and read about being the clay in the potter's hand. And it was just so humbling to be molded and that he was willing to still mold me.
So many message thoughts. He just wants somebody that is malleable. Is that the word I'm looking for? Is that the word? Malleable? You think of what goes on in that. I used to do pottery, crazy as it is. It is, yeah, it's interesting to watch where that starts and what it becomes. Starts out as mud, ends up a beautiful vessel. And have I ever given the illustration about the Japanese pottery, where when they break, when pottery breaks in Japan, they put it back together, and where the joint is, they put a gold in there, so it doesn't highlight the weakness of the vessel, but highlights the value of the vessel. Amen. You get broke after a while, and you get a whole lot softer. 10 years in Africa softened me for Graham Road Baptist Church. If you would have called me before I went to Africa, there'd be blood and guts everywhere. Trust me. Trust me. So he does. I appreciate his work on the wheel. Amen. It's tough, but I appreciate it. Anybody else? Don't ever hesitate about it. I've been preaching so much lately and so long, and I've got all my messages. Sometimes it's just therapeutic for us to testify about how good he is. I thought today I must have been listening. I thought I was done by 10 to 12, and I looked up, and it was 12:16 when I was given the invitation. I get caught up in this stuff. My heart just pours out to get the message out and hopes. Managing your expectations. I come to the pulpit, and I say this is going to fix everything, and it doesn't. I have to fix just me. Amen. Anybody else? Caleb, man, I do that so much to you, don't I? Noah, you're the spitting image of him.
I just want to, first, I want to thank God and counselors in the church for allowing me to go to camp.
I always got to ask questions and mess up everybody. When you guys go to camp, are you strategic with it? Because I don't know how it works. Like, for instance, Noah, would his counselor be Mike? There's no other way around that? Like, if I'm Noah and I go to the altar, can I just, like, do a Walter Payton and just... Really? Did you? Can I, this is missionary night. Do you find yourself when you're at camp, you want to go to somebody you don't know? No? You want to go to somebody you know? Okay. Miley, you just kind of didn't have a reaction. Noah, how about you? You don't mind going to your dad?
I don't mind going to him, and I don't mind going to others.
Thank you for answering my questions.
All right. And... so I'm thankful that I was able to go there, and I really enjoyed the spaceship game where you have to hold the wooden spaceship.
Is that better than Battleship 2x4 with this? Is that better? Somebody's got to show me a video of that Battleship game.
And I used to hate Fortress. It's like a brutal capture the flag game. But I didn't get injured this time, so I actually like it now. And one of the messages that spoke to me was Brother Angel spoke on the message. He spoke on the topic, when you sin or say you're sinning so you are figuring out what not to do, you're giving up the high ground. And I made the decision to listen to my parents so I won't give up the high ground.
Amen. Amen. Brother Mike, I don't know if Matt doesn't usually do this when he goes every year, but Brother Mike always brings me back the decision cards. And he kind of goes through them with me, and he's excited. And if I remember, you had an awful lot of decision cards in there, which really encouraged me because it showed me you were tender. Could you imagine if we did decision cards here? Because you know what it reveals? God, I don't mind being searched. I don't mind being transparent. And if we can teach a better transparency to the young people, they won't struggle to be hiders and hypocrites when they get to be older. Amen. We ought to start decision cards here. Hard enough getting folks at the altar. Good stuff, Brother Noah. Amen. McKaylee? If you didn't have a decision card in the stack, and I'm trying to remember, why not? I mean, obviously I'm speaking to the young people. If there was no decision card, you say, well, I can make a decision on my own, can you? Can you really make one on your own? Isn't it better when you have an accountability person? Isn't it better when we confess our faults one to another? Well, I don't want to air my dirty laundry out. No, I think we're trying to hide things too much. Amen. I don't know who did or didn't, but if you didn't have a decision card in that stack, I'd question. I just question the fact, what was my motivation going to camp? Was I listening to God? Is there something that He said that I just... I'll tell you one thing happened to me when I got there. Man, I'm a pastor. I was afraid to pull that phone out of my pocket, man. It was like, I felt, you know, it's like taking drugs into a jail or something. You know, you're sitting there. I went over in the corner. I'm not kidding you, doesn't it? Does anybody else feel that? Well, you guys are counselors. Do they, like, take them and put them in lockers when you get there? They were in your pillowcase? You were hiding them? Anyways. But it is refreshing. I think all of us need a good break from our phones once in a while. Amen.
To answer a question from before, I don't mind going to people who are from our church or other people from other churches. I'd prefer to go to people from our church, but I like to go to the other people also, because then I can make, like, friendships with the other counselors. Not that I'm, like, tired of them or anything, but it's nice to talk to somebody you don't know and create a new. I like camp. It's a great place. It's a great place to, like, get right with God, I guess. I mean, I know, like, He reads the decisions out loud and everything, but there's nothing to be embarrassed about. It's you getting right with the Lord, and everybody should be happy about it. And if they're not, I'd be like, why aren't you happy? With all the decisions that were made at camp, why wouldn't you be happy that people are making these decisions? And I made two decisions at camp, and I just wanted to tell the whole church what decisions I made. I have them written down. I'll give you...
It's twofold when you do that.
What?
Here's how that works. Some people are going to rally around you. And they're going to say, wow, I struggle with that, or I deal with that. I'm there with you. Let's do this together. And then others, they put it in their little bag to pull it out later on to use it against you. That's what I appreciate about camp. It teaches you to learn to make decisions and not be bothered by the influences of other people. And just make them and surround yourself with people that want your best.
So one of them was, it says, I don't want to disappear or watch from the sidelines as others do what God wants them to do. That was the message that... I can't remember who preached it. I think it was Brother Michael McCurry. He preached on Elijah's first servant before Elisha, who just, when Elijah went into another city, servant just disappeared, was never heard from again, because Elisha just left him there, and he said, okay, that's fine, I'll stay here. But he, and then he talked about how there are the sons of the prophets who just stood back and just watched Elisha follow Elijah and just went like, we're over here if you need us. Like, very like, and then there's Elisha who wouldn't leave Elijah like the one servant and who wouldn't just watch while Elijah went away. And then when he asked, when Elijah asked Elisha, what you would like, what do you want from me, like, to do this, for doing this, or I don't really know the whole thing. Well, I do, but like, and then Elijah said, I want double of what you had. And then Elijah's like, okay, I'll give you that. And then when he gets taken up, when Elijah comes back over to Jordan, all of a sudden, all the people jump on him. They're like, we can go find Elijah for you. Like, we can bring him back. Like, where were you? He's gone. God wanted to take him. God took him. You could have gotten what I have gotten if you hadn't been watching from the sidelines. Like, what did you want to get from that? And then the other decision I made was I want to stay on the high ground despite friends and family who I look up to who leave it. That was in parentheses. I don't want to experience the hurt that it brings, and I don't want those who look up to me to be hurt because I did something that I shouldn't have. That was the higher ground message that Brother Terry Angel preached. And there are so many good messages. Like, there are some, like, the Lord just didn't speak to me. He spoke to me in those two, though. I could really feel it. I could really feel the conviction. I was like, I don't wanna go down from the high ground. I wanna stay. I've seen the hurt that it brings. It's not good.
Amen.
I've seen the fruits of it. They're not good.
Amen. Amen.
I thought of Caleb and Elijah. They both had this. But they didn't want it. They went off the high ground and you can already see where they are now.
Amen.
I didn't want to be that. Caleb was my older brother who I really looked up to. I do not want to follow that.
Amen. I tell people all the time, you got to find something to fight for because people are watching you. Amen. We don't run this thing by ourselves. There's a lot of Volks marches. There's a lot of 3 a.m. PT runs. All it took was somebody to fall out, man, and I'd be right behind them. But then you look around at guys that are a little chubbier than you, or they don't look as athletic as you, and you sit there and go, man, they're still in this race. Your feet are bleeding. Your dogs are barking. You want to quit, and you see other people not quitting, and it keeps you going. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. They're watching us. They're watching us. Anybody else? On a good note, to go along with that, since we're family, I believe Elijah came up today. Did y'all go to lunch with him? Did you go to lunch with him? Yeah. You know what the next thing I'm praying for? He doesn't just come up to go to lunch with mom and dad and the family. He comes to church. Hey, what? Stop by your place or church? Amen. Amen. Gets to see who we are again. And we pray that no goofball goes up to him and says anything. That's another series I'm going to pray. I need to pull the charity out again, don't I? 1 Corinthians 13. Don't want any need to pull that message out again. That series that I studied for myself to learn how to be charitable. Faith, hope, and charity. The greatest of these is what? Charity. Amen. Never know where anybody's coming from. Anybody else? Man, there was a preacher shared something. I'm not a big Chuck Colson guy. Not Chuck Colson. What's that guy? No, the other one. There's Chuck Colson, Charles Stanley. There's another one. Ah, oh, what's his name? There was a preacher on what's that podcast? The Issues podcast. Stephen Russ posted something. Charles Colson. Charles Colson? You guys don't know Charles Colson? Charles Colson? Yeah. Grace to You Today or something like that. Boy, he talked about one that I'd give it to you in a synopsis. He had this guy come in and said he loved the preacher, loved preaching. Listened to him for years. And did anybody else see that one? He gave the whole story. And as soon as he came in, opened up his Bible, guy fell asleep. Every service he come to, opened up the Bible, guy fall asleep. They came up to him afterwards in a service, and the wife started explaining to him, you know, we love you so much, and this, that, and the other thing. And I don't know if you know this about my husband, but he's listened to you for years, and one of his last wishes, he's got terminal cancer, and this, that, and the other thing, and the medications, blah, 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 blah. And one of the things that he's always wanted to do before he died was come here. What did I say? Charles? Something Colson. I don't know. I'll figure out the name later on. And he said it just immediately smited his heart because he sat there and he judged that man every time over falling asleep, didn't realize the journey he got to get there. And I think we do that too many times. It's probably one of the things I say the most in my office to people. You never know where people came from. Be easy on them. And I've learned that. Tina's learning what I learned many years ago. She's the spitting image of her daddy. So if she pastored, some of y'all would be gone. Anyways, moving right along.
Yeah, I want to just thank the Lord for the opportunity that I had to go to camp. It was wonderful. I want to thank my parents, and I want to thank the church for allowing us to go to camp. It was an amazing experience with fun games and powerful preaching. Terry Angel was amazing. He was tender to the teens, as was Joe Grimaldi. And the messages were amazing. And
y'all had the heavy hitter week. Terry Angel, Micah. Who was the other one? Yeah. Joe Grimaldi. Yeah. Who else? Yeah, you guys had the heavy hitters, the big fish.
Mm-hmm. And you could feel the presence of God working in people's lives. And decisions were made, and people got saved, which was amazing. And I just wanted to thank and testify that we got to go to camp and had a good time. And I think that Brother Mike took us with Miss Alicia and Miss Michaela. They didn't have to take us, but they took us. They took time out of their busy schedules to go to camp with us, or not Miss McKayla,
y'all
Sam.
Look just sorry. Alike. He just mixed the two of y'all up, man. Come on.
I'm sorry.
You said Michaela. I know they look just like each other.
Right.
Sam. You meant to say Sam.
Yeah, Miss Sam. But they didn't have to take us to camp. And
no, they didn't. Say that
they
again.
They didn't have to take us to camp.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And they took time out of their schedules to be a blessing.
Amen.
I just want to thank the Lord for that.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Man, it's kind of awkward now, 7:26. I've heard that Brother Norm and Miss Sue have been practicing at home singing. And I feel the Lord's presence and a spontaneous compulsion to ask them to come up and share that song with us tonight in closing. I would, man, look. Getting out one of them nebulizers and all that. Hey, man, I wouldn't do that to you. Jake, I need some help. Let's sing a couple specials or something. Finish it out. Amen. Anybody else got anything to say? Testify? I can preach. But I'm not going to get too far into it, and I'll need to stop. Sometimes it's just nice to just enjoy what you have. I appreciate what our church is. I hope we can get to 100 years. Amen. I'm looking forward to the rapture, but until then, I want to stay in one piece. Amen. Angela, you have a testimony?
Yes.
Brother, okay.
It is about camp again.
Please, I hope it's not about that brisket.
The brisket was
good. I've
gotten
so many text messages about how nasty that thing was.
I just want to thank the Lord for that camp, for Common Ground, for a camp that is so... in touch with what the Lord is trying to do. Everybody there, the staff, the counselors, the kids, are preaching, like, it's just, it's different when you go there. Like, you can feel it. Like, there's a happiness just walking in. Like, one, the people, everybody's happy to see you. Everybody's having fun. Everybody's
well, when you're bringing
time,
food,
but,
what in the world? What do you think?
Right, but...
I guarantee you, Brother Grimaldi and Brother Angel will tell you they walked away from there and said people didn't even shake their hand. I'll guarantee you that. But bring food and everybody loves you.
Right? But it's just being with the like-minded people and the preaching. And I admit, I got tired and sore during the the altar call because they really take the time to let everybody... see somebody, talk to somebody, pray.
And they're not worried about time.
No, they're not worried about
time
at
all. They are not worried about time. If you want to personify Terry one for another,
right?
That's
camp. Amen. And they would get up as groups, they'd get up individually, and it didn't matter how long it would take. Even with the teens, they do preaching and altar call, then they do more preaching and another altar call. And they will tarry there all night, no matter how long it takes for everybody to get a chance to talk, to pray, to do as the Lord moves with them. And I'm just glad we were able to find this camp, that the Lord directed us there, and that this is the influence we're having on our teens and our juniors and our kids coming up. Because it's a good example. And the love and the family, and they have fun, but they have really good preaching, too. We could hear from them talking about it. That's the kind of fellowship they need to be having, and the friendships they make and they take away from here. I know we have several teens and now young adults that still have friends that they stay in contact with from other churches and from meeting them at camp. And I'm thankful for the Lord for that because we need that. We have a good church and a good family, but it's good to have outside just our church too, but like-minded.
Amen. Amen. The early days, I knew when I came here, and I'm not trying to take credit, but one of the things that I've strived for in my life is to find balance. There's a lot of voices out there, and I've always tried to get around people. I think I've strived to bring people that will help the Dale Moneys, the Dewey Whitfields, the Gazaways, the camp. I've tried to associate myself with people that will help me rather than hurt me. And we still have people that come through here and preach strong messages. But one of the things that I knew, and you might not have known this back in the day, but there was a lot of pushback trying to get somebody else. And when you say we went to camp with no counselors and no nothing, those were the days when nobody was really on board with it. But I just knew what it could be and what it was developing into. And Brother Crone will tell you, even then, he was the assistant pastor. And trying to keep that camp alive met with its struggles. And... surround yourself, what I'm trying to say is surround yourself with people that can help you and make you better. Amen. I'm honored to be a church that partners with them. You do feel a good feeling when you get there, and they're striving to do the best they can. Amen. Good stuff. All right, Joe.
I just want to praise God for a pastor who's so encouraging about the brisket. But
don't mention it. No. I'm just trying to help you. I'm trying to improve you.
No, I want to jump on the camp bandwagon because I know several years ago when wifey and I first went as counselors, we talked about it ahead of time, and we had a lot of trepidations because it was not the kind of camp that we had grown up in. And
you went to bikini camp, didn't you, Joe?
Oh, yeah, we did, yeah. Yeah. And
oh boy,
I can share the tales of hijinks. But what I can't tell you, and it was an encouragement to hear Miss Alicia say this, and this is what made me think of it. She said, 9 years ago, I heard this sermon. I couldn't tell you one sermon from the years that I went to camps.
Oh.
I can tell you the tales of piracy on the high seas of Lake Erie, but I couldn't tell you one sermon. And I praise God for you finding that camp for us, because the impact that I've seen it have on our kids, the impact that I've seen it have on the kids of other churches. One of the things I really appreciate, you were asking earlier, do you have to go to your counselor at the altar? And you don't. You can go to anybody you feel comfortable talking to. And I've gotten to counsel kids from other churches and have followed up with their youth pastors later on. And I've gotten to watch kids from other churches grow up and get older and become counselors. Yeah. And watch them serve with great joy. And then work with young kids. And it's a huge blessing to watch just the effect that putting something so focused on God's word over everything else in front of the kids and seeing the effect that has on them. I just praise God for that camp.
Amen. Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. One of the greatest things in the ministry and one of the most difficult things in the ministry, greatest thing in the ministry, is watching people just continue to grow in grace. And some of y'all probably are bothered by me saying you were a train wreck when you first came here. But it's just so encouraging to watch people because it takes obedience. That phrase, let us, that is a theme throughout the New Testament. Let brotherly love continue. You're allowing God to have free reign in your life. It's encouraging beyond all means to watch people grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the most discouraging things, though, is when you go to camp or when you go to church or when you go anywhere and you see somebody on a course and all of a sudden they're off the course. And McKaylee demonstrated that and shared that. It's people are watching. Run the race. Realize that I don't know if I didn't have my grandkids what I'd do. My kids, they keep me in the battle. And you keep me in the book. And amen. So, brother, I almost said brother Val. Brother Dan.
Yeah, we're married, one and the same. Which, this testimony has nothing to do with camp, so I'm going.
So you're going to kill it?
Yeah, I'm going to
kill
it.
Last testimony, you're going to kill it.
I'm going
we're
to kill
still,
it.
We got a couple campers down here. Yeah. I thought I saw them raise their hand.
Run this
I might
over
do what
door.
That youth pastor did many years ago. I was at church. He just walks up and puts the microphone in people's hands.
Seen that? A little over a year ago, Valerie lost or had her purse stolen, and along with that, all of her documentation. And it's been an uphill battle for the past year trying to get documentation again for her. But as of this week, she has now moved from the undocumented alien to a documented alien. And I can't...
That's what you told me Wednesday? Is that what you told me you came up?
And so I can no longer threaten her with calling ICE on her because she's legal now. So we just praise the Lord that we finally got everything. And it's just thank the Lord for his timing and everything
Amen.
In this.
Amen. Amen. That's one way to win an argument. Huh? You gotta watch your tone. You call Tom Homan. Amen. Was he a good camper? He was not a good camper while you were there? Was he a good camper? Man, he's worse than me. Did you see that? Did you watch it? You didn't see the expression on his face. He walked up here and he walked over and he went. Oh, you? Oh, okay. Anybody else? We got two songs? Oh, Ryan, you know what you do, don't you? You make yourself unapproachable, man. This church is full of girls. You're limiting your chances, Brother Matt, you know? You can get more. What is it? What's the old, you get more what?
More bees with honey.
Yeah, you get more bees with honey than you do vinegar. Amen. Matt, you got to work with him. All right? All right. Altars are open. Nobody else has testimony? Or maybe you have a testimony while we're singing. Amen. We'll get out of here.